I've had a lot of fun sharing with you over the last several weeks and months, actually, now on discipleship. And we're kind of coming in for a little bit of a landing here. And my wife always says things like this: "Well, Steve, put some tennis shoes on it." All right. Well, I purposefully, you know, when they start adding a lot of those things at the end of sentences, they really mess me up, have not really said this is how you do it, because I want the Spirit of God to speak to you of what it should be for each of you. But today I'm going to give you some ideas. We're going to look at some things. But Jesus was very explicit about us being his disciples and then going and making disciples, right? Can we agree with that? Matthew 28 is pretty clear. He says, "You're my disciples, now go make some disciples." And so I have been learning as much as you guys have been learning, and maybe more, all right? A couple of times Shirley has called me up and said, "Would you go with me and do this?" Well, Shirley has a gift. And you know what? Her gift is not necessarily our gifts, right? We are all different. And that woman can knock on the door of a lion and ask, "Is there anything I can get you for dinner today?" I'm amazed at how she just has no fear. But I have had a lot of fun, and I've been learning, and God has been showing me how I am to make some disciples. And so we're going to look at some stuff. And we started, and I'll try to do this really quick. We started by making sure that our heart is in the right place. Our heart has to be humbly submitted to God. And we talked about that for a week or two. And then we talked about how we have to let him be in charge. And we need to be listening and responding to him as the ruler of our life. And our heart needs to be humbly submitted. And then we looked at being biblically formed in our minds. And my page just went away. Biblically formed in our minds. And how God's principles have to be embedded into our heart and into our minds. And Paul made it really clear when he said this: "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Right? And how do we do that? He goes on to say, "So you may prove what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And we do that by putting the Word of God into us, going to the Bible study, having your devotions, reading the daily bread back there. And there is a new one for this month back there and out in the hallway if you want to get one, if that's how you like to do your devotions. Those are here. But God wants our polluted minds to be washed out with the Scriptures and filled up with truth. And what is truth? Can we go back? This is truth, right? This is God's Word. This is truth. And so God wants us to wash out our mind and fill it up with truth, and he's provided a way to do that supernaturally as we get into the Bible. It was interesting to me. I just came across, you know, I don't do much social media. I don't have time. Social media can take a lot of time. Do you know that? Sometimes I get up in the morning and I'm not quite ready to get my devotions, and I'll start doing this. And pretty soon it's 15 minutes. Anyway, I know somebody goes, 15 minutes? We do it 15 hours. But I saw this thing on Instagram, and it was this gal saying that they did a study, and people who read their Bible one day a week or less changed very, very little. And those who read their Bibles twice a week, there was some change. It was very gradual, and sometimes they went back to old habits. And those who read their Bibles three times a week began to see some changes in their life. But those who read their Bibles at least 4 days a week, there were some staggering statistics. And those who read their Bibles 4 days a week, 47% of alcoholics began to be set free. 60% of porn addictions began to change as they were being renewed in their mind by the Word of God. Reading the Word of God every day makes a difference. And there was a whole lot of other statistics, and I can't remember them right now, but I was amazed, not amazed, because I know God did it in my own life. I know that when God began to look to tell me to get in His Word, I know what it accomplished as I began to do that. And so we need to allow our minds to be biblically formed. God uses His supernatural Word with the guiding of the Holy Spirit to continue the ongoing process of changing our minds to be more like Jesus. So we need to read it, we need to study it, we need to memorize it, we need to meditate on it, and then we need to obey what it says. Sometimes we can have so much knowledge but not be obedient. God wants us to be obedient to His Word. We talked about the three areas that God changes our choices as we surrender our hearts and our minds to Him. We become generous, we become morally discerning, we become relationally healthy. God begins to show us how to make choices that look more like Jesus. And then He began to change our compassions. Jesus was constantly moved by compassion for those around Him. He said, you know, these guys are all like lost sheep without a shepherd. And He was constantly moved with compassion. I love that nursery has got activity going on. Do you know that? I love Drew. That is amazing. He's a good man, isn't he? Amen. But then we also looked at how He begins to change us in the way that we become engaged with our culture, how we intentionally begin to bless others. And so today, as we kind of wrap up, I want to take a look at a couple of things, because Jesus Christ did not die on the cross to simply secure heaven for you someday. Did you know that? But rather to develop you into a living illustration of God to those around you. Riley, can you move to the next? There we go. He didn't make us trophies. He didn't want something to set up on the mantle. All right? How many of you still have trophies on your mantle? I think I took mine down a few years ago from when I was in junior high, you know? But he doesn't want to put us up there and then we just sit there and get dust on us. He wants us to be involved. He wants us to be a living illustration of God to those around us. And after all that God has done for us, after all the illustrations that Jesus gave us as He walked the earth, and after all the scriptures that we have looked at, and all the times He's called us to change and be like Him, we still have a tendency to hide when it comes to making disciples. I don't know why that's the case. We have the greatest news there is. The greatest news there is. The greatest freedom that any of us have ever seen. And so, but it's so easy for us to hunker down. We can wave at our front door as we go in and never engage with the world that needs Jesus. And some of us find it easier to engage with those that are around us that we know that make it easy, but we still have fears and concerns and we're still lacking something. And when we look at the disciples, and they spent a few years with the Master, and they think they're ready to take on the world, Jesus has given them a taste here and there of what His kingdom is like. But they get the wrong idea of what that kingdom is all about and what it's going to look like. It may look like what they think down the road, but the way it looks now and the way it plays out is differently. It's different. But they get all excited about his kingdom, and he walks with them, and then that day that he sends them out two by two, and they're all excited about what happens. You know, they come back, oh man, the demons even obeyed us. How cool was that, you know? And Jesus is going, come on, guys, come on, come on. And even they come down to the final night. And we just talked a little bit about that final night before he was going to be put before the council and the Sanhedrin and all the rulers, and he was going to be condemned to die. And he says, you know what, guys? You're all going to leave me. And they go, no, 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 no. We're not leaving you. We're here to fight. We will not leave you. And what do? They all leave. They all leave. And for 40 days, it says that Jesus comes in and out of the lives of these disciples and the followers. And on that 40th day or thereabouts, one of the scriptures says 40 days, it says that he ascends into heaven. And Jesus says this, but hang on, wait. I want you to wait for something. He says, I'm gonna be leaving, but I'm going to give you a helper. And then they're going, you know. And then I want to look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And it says, Jesus came and told his disciples that I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so he's saying right now, he's saying, I've given you, I'm going to be going, but I'm giving you something to do. And I'm going to give you a helper that's going to help you to do that. Last week was Pentecost. Well, I'm going to touch a little bit on Pentecost today, because we honored our fallen and we looked at remembering last week. And God often told his people to remember so that they would not forget his faithfulness, his love, his commandments, his generosity, and the care that he had for his people. And today we want to remember Pentecost and what it means to us as believers, as disciples, and as disciple makers. See, God set up several days and weeks of the year that we were to celebrate. There are all these festivals. Well, Pentecost was one of those festivals. One of those festivals, it was called the Festival of Weeks. It was the celebration after Moses came off the mountain and they had the commandments. It started at that point, I think, is where it started. And it was also the first fruits. So the crops would be planted and everything would begin to come in, and they would bring first fruits to give to the priests so that they could sacrifice them. And so Passover was 7 weeks and a day after Sabbath, right? Did I get that right? That's pretty right. 50 days, right? Pentecost. Thank you. And so we have Pentecost happening, and, well, let's take a look. We need the promise Jesus gave us as he was leaving this earth. Let's look at Acts 1, 4 through 8. It says this. Once when he was eating with them, there he is. They're sitting around the table again. I think that's why us Christians like to sit around the table a lot and have potlucks, is Jesus was always sitting around the table. It says, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 6 says, and so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? See, they're literally within just a few days of Jesus taken off, and they're still saying, They're still thinking that he's going to come in and wipe out all the Roman rule, and they're going to set up a kingdom, and they don't get it. They don't get it. And it says, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. And then he says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In Pentecost, the Father sent us the power to be and do all that he has asked us to accomplish. The gifts are given. The Holy Spirit is given. The power is given to be a witness. It's given to change us. It's the reason why we can pray for Grant's eye, and I couldn't believe it this morning, except for that pupil that looks at me like that. You would not, he couldn't even see last week, you guys. I mean, I saw him a few days ago, and it was still just completely covered over. God has touched him. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit at work as we pray for him. And others around here have had answers to prayer this week. So what does it look like to have the power to witness? That's what I want to look at here a little bit. Because it's different for every one of us. I cannot put a thing out there and say, this is how you witness. Because if you do that, you can do that and you can accomplish things. But God has given each one of us a different way to share the gospel. As I said earlier, I've purposely not given any formulas. Because when the vessel is ready, God will show you what it looks like to make disciples. And I've done the equipping. I've done the teaching to get us where we're at. It's our part to put our hearts there, to put our minds there, to ask God to make us compassionate, to ask God to make us look like he looked, to have the mind of Jesus, the heart of Jesus. Now it's up to you and the Holy Spirit in you to take us to that next step. And so I want to look at a couple of other things here in the book of Acts that happened. We're going to go to Acts 2:1. And this is what it says. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Guys, when God shows up, you know it. You know it. It's not gentle usually. All right? We can look back like in Exodus 19:16 and Exodus 19:19, and it talked about when Moses went up on the mountain, and it talked about how when he began to interact with God, well, what the people heard down below was thunder and lightning. And it says that there were ram's horns. Now, I don't know if they took a ram's horn with them up there. It doesn't say that. But it says that they're hearing horns and trumpets. I mean, you talk about, hello, I'm here. It's pretty cool. And there was thunder and lightning and smoke. You know, sometimes churches have smoke machines. It was nothing like the smoke that covered that mountain. It says, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. I've never seen that. I don't. Has anybody in here ever seen a fire settle on somebody? I've seen it in the spirit, but I've never seen it happen. But these guys are writing what they saw, and they saw this fire. You know, the Holy Spirit is often referenced as the fire. And it says that the Holy Spirit came on them and this fire came on them. Let's look what it says next. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. And if we were to continue to read, we would find out that all of these uneducated people, they had not been to language school. They weren't in anything as English as a second language or Promethean as a second language or, you know, any. They had not gone. And all of a sudden, people that are coming into Jerusalem that have converted to Judaism from all these countries all over. From north, from south, from east and west, and they're coming into Jerusalem, they're hearing the good news of Jesus Christ in their own language. They're hearing it in their own language, and they're going, whoa, these guys are completely drunk and hammered. Now, I have been around completely drunk and hammered people before, and they didn't speak Russian or Chinese or Japanese or anything. And one of the apostles says, we're not drunk, it's too early. It's not the drinking time of day, you guys. And God begins to pour out in all these languages who He is and what He is and what He wants to do in their lives. That's what I'm seeing. Pretty amazing stuff. And then we know that Peter begins to preach, and that day it says that 3,000 people were added to the church in one day. I'm waiting for that day again, you guys. I believe that when the Holy Spirit gets poured out in the last days, like it talks about in Joel, that we're going to see that again. We're going to see people come to Jesus in bucketfuls. This is good stuff. I'm not preaching, I'm just reading the Word. And so, we see that it all of a sudden, the church is born. The church is born. The church of Jesus Christ is born. That day. Because of the Holy Spirit descending on believers, descending on those who God had already visited with Jesus. And He said, you're going to be my witness because I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. And it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Guys, when the Holy Spirit is among us and in us and on us and working, there will be signs and wonders. I am praying, we are praying as leadership in this church that we begin to see those signs and wonders. We begin to see people set free. Now I want to look at chapter 3. And this is where I think we'll find what I'm trying to say about. I'm going to give you a formula. Okay? I'm going to give you a formula. And we see that Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. They were doing this every day. And it says that as they approached the temple, a lame man from birth was being carried in. And each day he was put beside the temple gate and the one called the beautiful gate so that he could beg people for some money. And then we're gonna start at verse 4, chapter 3. I got it there, right? Yep. Okay. It says, Peter and John looked at him intently. In other words, they were paying attention. Do you know what? God wants us to pay attention to what's going on around us. And it says, he says, they looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. Okay, here's this guy that's lame. He's been laying here for years, and he's begging for what? Money, right? He's begging for money. He wants money. He doesn't have a job. He can't work. And he's looking for money. He's looking for money. And so Peter says to him, hey, look at me. And it says, the lame man looked at them eagerly. What does it say? Expecting some money. You know what the world expects? The same old thing. Because that's what they have every day, is the same old thing. The same old thing. Does Jesus give us the same old thing? No. He gives us new bread every day, doesn't he? His mercies are new every morning. All right. And then this is the point I want to make. And Peter said to him, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Yeah, get up and walk. I don't have any money, but I got something better. I got Jesus. I have Jesus. And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand. See, when we begin to get involved in people's lives, we touch them. We get involved. We don't just say something and walk away. Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. And he jumped up and he stood on his feet and he began to walk. And walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. This is my formula for you guys. Do whatever God puts in front of you to do at the time. I'm afraid to go to door to door. Okay. Tell your story a different way. I'm not good at talking. Well, can you buy somebody groceries and then tell them why you're delivering those groceries? I cannot fix your financial situation, but I can listen to your needs and pray for you. Do you know what? Always, when I've asked somebody if I could pray for them, they've said yes. Each morning, Carol and I ask God to put before us and help us to see when we are given a supernatural moment. We've begun to pray that every morning. Okay, God, don't let me miss anything that's you today. That divine appointment, whatever you want to call it. But we're looking for those moments that allow us to touch someone in the name of Jesus. We can all do that. We need to make ourselves available, just like Peter and John did. They were on their way to a prayer meeting. They were going to do something important. But what was more important? The interruption was more important because they were being Jesus. I mean, if you look at Jesus, I mean, come on, you guys, just look at the Gospels. He allowed himself to be interrupted all the time. It always says he was going somewhere, and then he got interrupted. Jesus on his way to, got interrupted. Jesus going to, got interrupted. The one I like is, he's going somewhere, and he sees some guy in a tree, and he says to that guy, I'm eating at your house tonight. Now, if you work for the man and you're working, don't waste the man's hours, okay? I'm not saying that. Hear me, okay? You're getting paid to do something, you need to do it. But let God interrupt those times when you're on your coffee break or after work or before work or whatever. And sometimes it might even be your boss. See, they were on their way to a prayer meeting. We need to take time to be present in every situation and ask God, is this you? There are times that have been time robbers. It's been the enemy getting in the way. And I have begun to say, okay, help me to hear your voice, Father. But we need to be ready to be gentle, to be caring, to be listening. We get so caught up in our own agendas and our own thoughts. Well, this isn't a good time. My cat just died. I don't want to talk to anybody. Okay, God, is this the right time to talk to somebody? Maybe that person's cat just died and you can come alongside of them. You know what they're going through. We all have a story to tell, a scripture to relate, a freedom to share, a struggle you're going through. Well, you know, Pastor, when I am all perfect, I'll do this. How many of you know that that would be never? Never? Yeah, never, right, Randy? Never. We are not ever going to be perfect on this earth. There was only one man who walked this earth that was perfect, and he was God, and we're not. And people aren't looking for perfect people. You know what? They need to know that you were a jerk. Used to be a jerk. They need to know that you struggled with this or that. They need to know. People are looking for somebody who will listen, someone who cares, someone who will pray for them. When Peter called to the man, he didn't have what the man thought he needed. This man thought he needed money. He didn't need money. He needed God's touch. He needed to be healed. But Peter and John had the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. The Holy Spirit gives us power to be witnesses, to testify of God's goodness. Your story, your testimony is powerful. I like Revelations 12, 11. And it's talking about how Satan is constantly going before the throne room of God and accusing us. I guess it's 12, Revelations 12, 11. And he's going in and he's saying, did you see what Carol did yesterday? And Steve, oh, he's a piece of work. You know what our Father does? He goes, oh yeah, I see them. Yeah, they're covered by the blood of Jesus. Yeah, they're good to go. They're good. They're good to go. And listen to this. And they have defeated him. They're talking about Satan. Okay? And they have defeated Satan by the blood of the Lamb. We have been bought with a price. We have been covered by the blood of the Lamb when we have asked Jesus into our life and forgiveness of our sins. And then look at this. They have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. In other words, Satan, look what Jesus did for me. And it says that they don't even care if they die because God's got them. How cool is that? Begin to look for opportunities to meet Jesus. Begin to listen to that still small voice when he says, pray for that person, or go sit at this place or that place. I took my car in to have it worked on somewhere. And, you know, normally you sit there at the place, and so I know it's going to be a couple hours because it's the 30,000 mile and they want more money. So I know that they're going to have it for 2 hours whether they need it or not, right? So I walk past that and then lots of area to sit. And I'm looking around and I'm asking God, smart. I ask God, okay, God, where do you want me to sit? I wander through and, hello? Go outside. Okay, go outside. Oh, there's a coffee shop. That's where he wants me to sit. He wants me to go to the coffee shop. All right. I go to the coffee shop. I go inside. I order a coffee. Rent, you know, for the chair. And I look around inside and, no. So I go outside. And everything's taken up. Everybody, it's a nice day, right, in Seattle. Sunshine's... Nobody goes inside anymore, right? So there's this police officer sitting there, and there's like 6, 7, 8 chairs. And I'm going, could I sit there? No, I got some buddies joining me. I said, oh. I go, okay, God, maybe I got that one wrong. And he says, oh, but there's a chair right here next to me at this table. I said, okay, all right. God goes, are you listening? Oh, okay, God. I said, well, hey, I'm Pastor Steve and blah, blah, blah. And he introduces himself, tells me his name and what he does. And so we're talking pretty soon. And I'm not kidding you. There are 8 cops sitting around this table. Apparently, there are no robberies between 11 and 1. But they're all sitting around this table, and each time a new guy comes up, because they came in, you know, in staggered and shifts, but there's 8 of them. And there's even a retired police officer there. And then his friend got dragged in because he was meeting the retired. Anyway, there's about 10 of us sitting around this table. I'm going, okay, God, they're telling their stories and they're doing this and they're doing that. And every time a new officer comes up, they introduce me to everybody. Yeah, he's a preacher, you know. And so, you know, none of it relates to me. I'm not really, you know, I laugh when it's appropriate and, you know, act like I'm listening. And I am, because I'm going, okay, God, what's up, you know. And so finally, I go, okay, because I'm working on my sermon. But I promised God that people over preparation. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, I've done this for 40 minutes, God, and blah, blah, blah. And I start to turn, and God says, no, go back. So I stay. And one by one, these cops begin to leave. And they all leave. And about 2 minutes later, this one cop comes back around and he sits down and he wants to talk. Anything fantastic happened? No. I told him about Jesus. I prayed for him. I think he's a believer, but he needed to talk to somebody. that he knew cared. And he could tell because I participated that I cared. I'll be honest with you. Eight cops, it's not really my cup of tea, but there you go. I listened. And then I was able to speak into someone's life. See, tell your story when God gives you that opportunity. Tell the whole story. Tell the good parts and the bad parts. But remember to give God the glory because he's the one that has saved us out of our sin. Jesus said we're to be the lights of the world. Why are we to be lights? Is it because we want to show off? No, he says, be the light, be Jesus, so that they will see the Father and glorify him. See, we've been given power to share, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The formula is what Peter did and John did. They made themselves available. You guys, make yourselves available. Just make yourselves available. You don't have to have this whole script planned out. Sometimes God calls us to do that. Actually, when I went with Shirley and we did a couple of door-to-door knockers, it was a lot of fun. It was a blast. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Come on in, girls. We're almost done. You can sit up here. Yeah. Remember, just because you share does not mean that that person will respond either. The response is up to them and God. We just have to make ourselves available. That's my formula. Like Peter and John, make yourself available. Hey, I don't have anything, but I got Jesus. I don't have any money, but I got Jesus. I don't have any groceries, but I got Jesus. Just make yourself available. And sometimes God will have you provide groceries or invite somebody over. Start praying for your neighbors. Start praying for those that you work with. Start praying for your kids, your grandkids. Go after it. Beat heaven's doors because God will begin to open opportunities for you that you never saw coming. We have a whole neighborhood out here that needs Jesus. You got neighbors that need Jesus. You got co-workers that need Jesus. You're the church. This building is not the church. You're the church. Be the church to those around you. Some plant, some water, some cultivate, some get to harvest. But our goal is to be obedient. Maybe you're in the beginning of it. Maybe you're in the middle of something. Maybe you're the final touch point where this person says, I'm ready to respond to Jesus. But all of that is up to God and the person as they make choices of their own free will. All of us started at the beginning. None of us have arrived. We are all in the process. The process of being more like Jesus. Let's stand. I don't know about you, but I want to make disciples. I want to see people come to Jesus. That's my goal. Make it your goal. Do it the way God leads you to do it. There is no formula. There's no exact formula, Carol. Okay? Okay. But you put some tennis shoes on, so go visit the next door neighbor. Okay? All right. Good. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you're a God who cares for all people. You're a God who loves all people. And Lord, this world is in a dire need of a Savior. This world needs Jesus. Lord, our young people need Jesus. Our children need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. And we ask, God, that you would help us to be examples of your love as we go out, no matter what day it is, no matter what time it is, that we are always looking for an opportunity to be Jesus. And so, Lord, help us through the process. Help us to see what you're doing. Help us to be more like Jesus. And help us to become better disciples that make disciples that make disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Encourage one another. Have a great day.